Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and know what's looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today, I have a bookish guest, Bree Hill from Falling for Romance. Before we get to Bree's recommendations, I want to share a little bit about a podcast recommendation that I have for you. As you know, the What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network, which is home to a bunch of bookish and relationship podcasts that you should check out. For more information on Frolic Network, go frolic.media/podcast. For today's recommendation, it's for a podcast that I've been listening for the past 2 years. It's the SSR Podcast, or better known as Shit She Read Podcast. The SSR Podcast is a throwback to YA middle grade books that we read back in the day, and to see if they stand the slight test of time. I asked Allie to share a little bit more about the show, so here we go.
Hi everyone, I'm Allie Hoff-Kosick, and I'm so excited to tell you a little bit more about my book podcast. I am the host and creator of the SSR Podcast. SSR stands for Silent Sustained Reading, which was my favorite part of the routine back in elementary school, but it also stands for Shit She Read. Every week on the show, a guest joins me to revisit a throwback read that we would have been familiar with from our middle or high school days. We celebrate the things we still love about these books, but also take a critical look at the messages they send about everything from race and sex to bullying and friendships. It's really cool, and sometimes a little upsetting, to reflect on how these books have impacted our worldview and to think about how they would have to be different if written today. Tune in wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts for episodes about Nancy Drew, The Babysitter's Club, The Boxcar Children, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Sweet Valley High, and so many more. You can come say hey over on Instagram too. Find me at SSRPod.
Thank you, Ali, for sharing a bit about the podcast. I am so excited for today's interview. So today I'm talking to Bree Hill from Book Falling for Romance Instagram account. She also had a BookTube account, and she has done some weekly live IGTV lives every Friday, which I love. It's something I tune in. She interviews people, she does unboxings, and shares a little bit about her reading life. I love chatting with Bree about Jill Chavez and all the other fun Romans. So in this interview, we just chat all things Romans. I hope you enjoy it. Now let's go chat with you. Hi, Bree.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I do the Instagram thing. I also am on YouTube. And like you mentioned, I do write for Frolic Media, and I'm a contributor for the Women podcast. I am retired Air Force turned stay-at-home mom. And I restarted reading romance in 2017. So I still consider myself kind of the new girl to the club, but I love reading and talking about romance. So I'm really excited to be talking to you today.
Oh, this is so exciting. So I started reading romance in 2016. So we're kind of like in the new
year. We're new too?
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? Like, we'll hear other romance readers like, oh, I picked up my first romance. It's great. And I'm like, I'm pretty still reading R.L. Stein, The Goosebumps, yep, in the sixth grade.
Yeah, pretty much. I was reading R.L. Stein, Sweet Valley High, Babysitter's Club, you know. Like,
yeah.
Like, I do not know what romance was,
or
like
historical
or contemporary, so I understand. So, what kind of romance do you read?
I am mostly a contemporary romance reader.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do feel like I try to read some historicals. I've read Beverly Jenkins, a few of her titles. I'm trying to work my way through her bibliography. And in this year, I've started the year off reading an Eva Lee backlist title for her Wakefield of London series, and I loved it. So I definitely plan to read more historicals throughout the year. I really have this misconception about whole genre, and I'm learning how wrong I was. And I've read a couple of paranormal titles, so I need to stop being this and get out of my comfort zone.
I hear you. I just started reading historicals just last year. Like, I had this misconception that historical was going to be outdated, and it wasn't, that it's going to be old, and it's all about marriage and babies and just like that. That's what it is all about. And then I've been pleasantly surprised that it's not. That's what it's about.
Yeah. They are so feminist. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like fighting the patriarchy one book at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a total surprise. So,
yeah, I have Beverly Jenkins to be on my TBR of backlist titles I need to go for. I had a couple of guests who mentioned the love her writing, and so I really want to check her out.
Oh, she's amazing. So you moved to Chicago. We were supposed to like record a while ago, but you were moving. How do you like it?
Oh, I love it. Well, okay, so I moved February 28th. From New York, and so I moved at the perfect time, if you think about it, the state.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Order. I left New York the right month, and so I was unpacking for the first 2 weeks. I was, like, in my new apartment. I got, like, plenty of space. I live in a one-bedroom apartment, and so I was, like, checking my neighborhood, and I was job searching, and it was great, and then coronavirus hit. And I was like, oh, I gotta stay at home all the time.
Yeah, in your new city, right?
It's strange. I feel like it's strange. I don't know. Chicago is still up in the air, whether I like it or not. You know, my feelings are, I'm like 90% I like it, so I'm grateful for it, but I haven't seen it. There's all these neighborhoods, there's all these restaurants, and, you know, and book clubs. There's like a couple of Roman's book clubs, and I was like so excited to join them, and I was like,
no. And then this happened.
Yeah.
Well, they have the bookstore, is it? Love Sweet Arrow. Yeah.
So I was looking forward to going to there. There's a couple author events that were like going to be there. And I was like, I'm excited. And yeah. But I like my neighborhood. So I live in Lakeview Boys Town. So it's actually a really cute neighborhood. There's a lot of restaurants. There's like 5 different grocery stores. I got a Whole Foods, a Trader Joe's, and regular grocery stores within walking distance. So it's been nice for the quarantine where everything's within walking distance. So that's been nice. So.
Yeah, my mom lives in Chicago, and I'm like, I'd visit a lot more if it wasn't a 17-hour drive.
Oh my God.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and the pizza is some of the best pizza I've ever had. So I'm excited for you. I mean, it's a beautiful city, and especially, like you said, the lake. That area is so pretty. It's so pretty down there.
I live at the lake. So the lake is like on the other side. Like, I live in Lake Shore Drive. I don't want to go that specific where I live. But I live in Lake Shore Drive. It's like right next to my building. And so the lake is on the other side of the drive, and it's like really nice. And I was like looking forward, but they closed the lake. So I had to wait.
You had to wait. Yeah. Our first time going up there, we were moving from Georgia. So we took my kids to Chicago for my mom to keep them for like the month we'd be like living at hotels and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my husband's from Brooklyn. So when we got to Chicago, he just fit right in. Like, he was used to the traffic. It was no biggie to him, right? Like, New Yorker, my city's bigger than this, and I'm freaking out, like, slow down, I don't know how to parallel park. And like, we came in the winter, so our like sweaters from Georgia, we get to Chicago and we're like freezing. I'm like, I've never been this cold in my life.
Oh my God. Yeah, it snowed this morning. It's the way, for those who are listening, we're taping this on April 15th, and so it snowed this morning, and I'm like, what is going on?
I know. My family's in Missouri, and my grandmother's like, we're supposed to get snow this weekend. I'm like, Granny, it's April. Like, we're wearing shorts down here in Texas. What do you mean?
So it's one of those things. I'm like, but I like Chicago. I'm grateful. I moved from New York. I lived in New York for 14 years, and I needed a change, so I'm grateful for the change. And, you know, so, but everything is like, it's kind of like a strange place to be where I sort of like you, but I don't know you that well. you know, like, I haven't made my community, you know, my fitness classes, restaurants, the things I need to do. Like, it's still not settled there.
You will, especially once you get to get out and meet other readers. And I'm really excited for you with all the romance book clubs and stuff there. I live in San Antonio. I've been here since 2014, and I haven't seen any of that here. And so I'm like, you're just going to have to do it yourself.
I know. So yeah, I'm excited. I think it'll be a fun, it's a fun change.
Yeah.
So it's a fun change for New York. And New York is like the hustle and bustle of like, I'm ready for a break. And so it's nice. And it's not as crowded. I was talking to my old boss about it. I was like, you know, I go for walks and whatnot. I asked her if she goes for walks. She's like, no, I don't want to be on top of each other. And I was like, I forgot New York is so crowded that people are, the 6 feet social distance is not as easy. Like, whereas like one person, you know, you walk by, but it's like not that many people on the street. So awesome. So let's talk about, what do you love about the romance genre?
You know, I think I love, first, I think romance catches a lot of slack for its predictability, but I think that's the part of it that I love the most, just with like living with mental health and anxiety. I love the I know that we're going to get that happily ever after. And I just love the creative ways that authors make that happen. Because a really good romance, you're going to pick it up and you're like, there's no way these two people are going to end up together, right? Like authors can make it so frustrating. And then you get it at the end and it's like, wow, I knew this was coming, but there for a while, I didn't think it was going to happen, you know? So I think the predictability is the thing that I love the most, and just seeing how authors can kind of steer me off the path there for a while. I don't think I'm going to get it. And then we do in the end.
Yeah, I love the factors of Happy Ever After. Like, I started reading romance. I did not realize I was reading romance. I was just, like, reading new adult and romance, but I didn't realize there was a Happy Ever After at the end of the book and until, like, somebody had to tell me, like, oh, that's what romance is all about. And I was like, oh, because I love endings that actually end well.
That's kind of how it was for me. So I say that I picked up my first romance in 2017, right? Because that's when I picked up my first Debbie Maycomber. Mm-hmm. I was like sitting on the couch and it was November 1st, Laura. And you know, November 1st, it's like Hallmark kicks off their Christmas movies. So I was sitting on the couch and I was watching a Christmas movie and I was like, you've never actually read a romance, but you watch these every year. So I got on Google and I'm like, what romance author writes the best Christmas romances? And Debbie Maycomber's at the top. So I like pull her up and I started downloading her books. And she had a new release that was coming out. So I pre-ordered that. And I started reading her and I was like, you know what? Maybe I have been reading romance already, because I was reading Susanna Kearsley, but I was reading her when I was really heavy into historical fiction. Okay. So I thought she was an historical fiction author, but I'm like, I started listening to the smart podcast, Trashy Books, and I was like, they have an interview with Susanna Kearsley, so she must be a romance author. Yeah. So I think that like made the transition into it a little bit easier, because I had already determined like I need that happily ever after.
Yeah, I feel like that's something important. I think it's someone who, especially during this quarantine, where there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of feeling like uncertain grief and sadness. There's something to be said about the happy they were after that just happens, and you know, like it's gonna be a good ending. Yeah.
For you, because you said you like contemporary mostly, right?
Yeah.
So me too, but I've been seeing a lot of friends that are contemporary readers say that they're having issues reading contemporary right now. Are you?
Yes, I am. So I've been reading historicals for the most part. I'm reading a couple of contemporaries. I read The Boyfriend Project. I'm reading Had Me at Ola right now. So those are actually helpful. They're like,
you're reading that one?
Yes, I'm reading
that. Is like my most anticipated. I have a list.
Me too. I emailed the publisher and I said, you know, I'm own voices, I'm Puerto Rican, like I really need this book.
And my husband's Puerto Rican. I can't wait for it to get here. So yeah, I can be like, look at this.
So I got an email from the publisher saying, hey, we got this Latino romance. And I was like, I'm sorry, I already requested this and I need this in my life. And so we were able to get Alexis to come on the show. So I'm reading it for next week. I'm interviewing her and I can't wait to dive into it.
I can't wait.
It talks about Puerto Ricans, which is what I love. It's like, I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm from the island of Puerto Rico. So it's different.
I didn't know it was actually a Puerto Rican story. I just was like, you it have is. Me at Ola. I want to read it.
It is.
See, that I've been getting my husband into reading because I've been finding Puerto Rican authors. And I'm like, here, maybe you should read this.
Yes.
And he's actually been reading this year. So
the main character, both characters are Puerto Rican, but they're different. So I believe Jasmine is, she's a quarter Filipino. She's Puerto Rican from New York. So she's a New York Rican. And then Ashton is a Puerto Rican from Puerto Rico. So they talk about the differences between both Puerto Ricans, like, you know, coming from the island is different from like coming from New York. So they talk about that. They also talk about the Hurricane Maria, which I love. Like, so it touch upon what's happening in Puerto Rico. And it's a telenovela. It's like Jane the Virgin, you know, telenovela.
Yeah. Set, and
it's like really cool.
I can't wait because I think, so I had the publisher is going to email me a copy whenever they come in. I think she said this week, so it should be on its way. So I hope I can get it read before the podcast airs.
Yeah.
But I always find that so fascinating because like my husband, he grew up in New York and then his mom lived on the actual island. Yep. And I did not know that it was such a difference. Like working before I got out of the military, I worked with two Puerto Ricans from the actual island, and they were trying to break it down to me like, oh, there's a difference. And I'm like, what do you mean there's a difference?
It's a difference. There's a difference. I realized that. Like people assume when I went to college, that's when I moved to the States. And I was like, they were like, oh, you're like New Rican. I was like, no, I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm from the island. Like I speak Spanish. Like Spanish is my first language. You know, the food is different, like the whole culture is different. There's stuff that is actually Americanized. Like I did grow up watching art, you know, watching MTV and reading Babysitter's Club and Sweet Valley High, but there's still like it's a different culture than, you know, like New Yorkers from Puerto Ricans from New York. Like there's a different hustle that New Yorkers have that the Puerto Ricans are like, yeah, whatever.
And see, that's what I think is so cool about romance, because here we are getting this story, you know, here we are getting that story. And in the middle of, you know, we know we're going to get that happily ever after, but the author's going to open people's eyes to something that you may not even have known was kind of a clash in a culture. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've been making an effort looking for diverse romance. For me, that's been important, just to look at other people's story and learn from it. I love that. That's one thing. I love that authors are bringing different voices and different experiences and different mental illness and just like death or just different disabilities and just seeing, showing that they can have romance. They can have.
How is that going for you? Because I think that's a goal for everyone, but sadly, I think that you really have to go
looking for it. You have to look for it. Like, yeah, the publishers are doing an okay job. I don't think they're doing a great job, but you have to look for it. There's, you know, I think The Boyfriend Project is a good example. That's a good STEM, you know, Black, Asian, you know, representation. I would say you had me at Ola's Latino representation. Adriana Herrera is doing a good job about queer Latino, Afro-Latino, Caribbean culture. So you kind of have to look for it. And I've been more conscious about this and wanting to bring in authors who are people of color, because I want, you know, I'm from Puerto Rico. Like, even though I'm white passing, like I have, you know, my culture is not, I'm not from the U.S., so I want to look for other people's culture and get to do that. But you have to be conscious about it and look for it. I think that's you know, for someone who's like, oh, I'm just going to pick whatever book is out there. You have to be more like discerning and be like, okay, is this book going to be that I need or not?
Yeah. I think that's the thing that is most frustrating is, you know, I'll go to my local Barnes & Noble and I love going in there and just browsing the shelves, but if it's not traditionally published, you're not going to find it, you know? And unfortunately, there's a lot of people of color, people with disabilities, sexualities that aren't getting traditionally published. So it's like, you really have to dig and find that stuff. And, you know, like you said, making a conscious effort, but, and then, you know, with publishers, it's like, yeah, if it's not, I've always, before I've started reading romance, I was mostly a plot driven person. I really didn't mm-hmm. care about the characters.
Yep.
So I look back on my life and I'm like, wow, I really wasn't focused on representation because I just wanted to read a good story. I didn't care. But as romance readers, you kind of become character driven people because you're mm-hmm. in their head so much. And now I just am really aware of how white my reading has been, you know, mm-hmm. but then you get your foot in the door, you know, publishers are reaching out to you and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, I'd love to read because it sounds like a good story. But then you look back at the year, I'm like, wow, I didn't really read very diversely at all either. And it's just like, how do you fix that? You know, when you have to remember to make that effort to go digging and look for it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I'll find books and I'm like, okay, this looks like a good book. And then I'm just going to, you know, look at the author. I'm like, okay, like, they're confessing me. And it's been interesting. Like, I would say what Chica, Priscilla Oliveira's Island of Ferris coming in. I got her to come on the show. Like, I, you know, even marketing to the publishers and say, you know, I'm Latina. Like, I'm actually looking for this kind of author. And saying, like, publishers, like, you should bring more of this, you know, rather than less of that. You know, and even looking at indie authors. So I used to read more indie. I don't read that much anymore. It's still, like, there's that one there, too. But you have
Isn't it crazy that they feel like completely different worlds? I mean, you go on to Kindle Unlimited and it's the floodgates open. It's like this huge world of its own. It's crazy. Like, I have no idea where to even go sometimes.
I know. I think with romance, there's like so many books available. Like, I love talking about romance because there's like so many different genres, different subgenres, different tropes, different people, like different authors. Like, you can go, and most authors are prolific. They write like more than one book. So you have like multiple backlists to go to. You're like, this is amazing. But it's like, when are you going to read it all?
Right. Right. And with me being, you know, feeling like I'm new to romance, I think it's important that I read backlists. So I have to really find that balance of, let me read some new titles and help create some buzz, but also I want to get to know this author. And I think one of the best ways to get to know an author is to read their backlist. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of reading. Yeah, but it's a lot of reading.
Yeah.
So let's talk about romance tropes. So what's your favorite romance trope?
Oh my gosh. I don't think this is tough. So I love, this is really hard because I feel like the thing I consider tropes are really true. So I the like friends to lovers or fake dating. I love fake dating. And for a while there, I didn't feel like I was reading a lot of them, but then I looked at what I had been reading and I'm like, you're reading a lot of like wedding rom-coms, and fake dating goes so well in wedding rom-com stories. So I really love that. I love dance. I love second chance stories, which I know isn't everyone's thing, but I've read some romances that I feel like did second chance just really, really well. And I'd have to say a good mm-hmm. forbidden romance. I love those as well. So I don't really have a trope that isn't my thing.
Okay.
I'm down with everything.
Okay. So I got a question. What are some good wedding rom-coms or wedding rom fake dating books?
Okay. Well, I just recently read one. Hold on. So I really loved, I love Emma Hart, and Emma Hart has one that I read this year, 4 days. That one was really, 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 it was this girl and this guy, they basically had a one night stand, and she gets up to leave the next day, and she's going to leave him a note before she leaves to like call her because she wants to ask him if he'd be her date to her sister's wedding, but she wants to leave the note and then leave so that if he doesn't call her, she's not like, you know, freaking out about it. Well, he wakes up and he's like this really sweet guy. And so they go to the wedding and her family is like, oh my gosh, like, he's this hockey player. And she's like, oh, I didn't know. We literally like met in a bar and went home and slept together. And so they're all freaking out. She, what I liked about it is that she came clean to her brother, sister-in-law, her sister and her brother-in-law. And she's like, this is fake. We're just here for the wedding. I want mom to be. Because the whole thing of like, sibling that's not dead and mom's giving me about it brings this fake date. And that was the story. It like pretty much goes from there, but I just loved it so much. Like I just, that was one of the examples of, I really love fake dating with stories, and they just really seem to go so well. And for some reason, I've been picking up books not knowing that was really what was going on. I'm trying not to read synopsis as much. Mm. And that's what it turns out to be. And I'm like, oh, I love this. It works.
I love it. I love you're pleasantly surprised. You're like, oh, genetic
stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So many of my friends are like, oh, I don't even read the synopsis. I just go off the cover. And I'm like, okay, I'll try that. Because I feel like if I read the synopsis, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to read that. And I'm like, you're missing out on so many books by being picky like that. So I'm just, you know, I'll go in, and if 50 pages in, I know I don't like it, then I'm like, okay, you can set it aside. But so far, it's been working out really well.
I like that idea. I may pick it up for you. I tend to pick the book, read a few pages, and then I go back and look at the synopsis and be like, what is this book all about? I read a couple reviews on Goodreads, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just going to go back reading it. So that's my trick. I need to know a little bit of what's going about, what to expect, and then just keep going.
What's the last book that you rated 5 stars? Are you really picky with your ratings?
I am and I'm not. I was when I was in 2016, 2017, when I did not do this for a living, quote unquote, and the podcast and all those different things. And so I used to rate most of my books 3 stars. And that meant I liked the book and it was just fine. And then 1 or 2 4-stars and a few 5-stars. And then I start Instagramming and doing being part of the community, and my star rating went up. Like, it was like, I feel bad. It was like, they do a lot of work, and I feel bad about the author. And so I rated them higher. I think looking back this month, I actually had a good streak of 5 stars. So I read Written the Stars, which is an Avon title. It's come out in November. And okay. I gave that a 5-star. And it's a female-female rom-com between actuary and a social media astrologer. And it was so, so good. So good.
Female-female romance?
Female-female romance, yeah.
Okay.
So good. You got to pick it up. It's like social media astrology. So if you've been co-star or any of those social media astrologers, you know, have memes and all those different things, mm-hmm. they talk about that. I used to work in an actuary firm, so it was funny to see like what an actuary does. I was like, I actually know what this does work about.
Yeah.
So it was like interesting, and the romance was like just on point. It was just like so sweet. The chemistry was on point. It's opposite of track, fake dating. And it's just like, so that was like,
do you ever feel like pressure you know, once you started to kind of transition to doing this a little bit more, was there any pressure with like changing your rating scales? Because I feel like 3 stars is a lot of people's kind of like baseline, you know, for I liked the book.
Yeah, I felt like in some ways, I felt because I was accountable to publishers and to authors, I felt pressure to just be more generous about it. And as opposed to being like, I just gave you a 3-star. And they're like, why are you giving me a 3-star? Like, you should give me a 5-star. Like, you know. So it's funny enough because I'm like, I read 1-star reviews, and most of the time, the 1-star review let me know if this book is for me. Most 1-star reviews.
Girl, yes.
Much sex is happening. I'm like, won't click that book. Those are the reviews that I read the most, is the 1-star reviews, and that, you know, the authors may be like horrified, but those are the ones I'm like, I'll one click that book because you just told me there's too much sex.
I used to be one of those people like, oh, let me check out the 5-star review of last year. If you really want about a book, you got to check out those 1-star reviews, because those are the ones usually, like you said, I'm like, oh, that has everything that I love. Yes, let me go read it. Oh, I'm like, oh yeah, no, let me avoid this one.
Yeah, and like actually that's how I discover authors, just because they have 1-star reviews, like basically, and the authors will post them. I'm like, okay, now I'm gonna buy you. So yeah. You're telling me there's too much sex, or there's too much like banter, or there's too much consent. I was like, I'm sorry, I want more consent. So yes, I'll buy that book. So one click on those
books that I read a couple of weeks ago. I was iffy about something. So when I get iffy about something, I'll get on there. Let me just see what other people think about this book. And this girl like read it horribly. So I was looking at her review and it, oh, it's too Hallmarky, which the book was actually published by Hallmark. So I was like, yeah, hello. It's actually published by Hallmark. And that was like her thing. It's too sweet. And I'm like, oh, well, I love it. So let me keep reading the book. But I was like, you know, she's like, I don't know why I keep giving romance a try. And I was like, well, okay, that's it. She's not a romance reader. So of course she's not going to enjoy this book. You already went into it with this bias. So yeah, I was like, I kept reading it and it ended up being a 4 out of 5-star read.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things that I would tell authors, so like, don't worry about the 1-star reviews, because they most likely are going to bring you the audience. Those reviews are going to be like, okay, we want to read that book. You're telling me what I want to hear. You're actually writing exactly what I want to hear. You're my book twin. You're not my book twin. You're my book opposite. I'm going to buy that book for you.
Yeah. And so like, you know, if in instances like that, I'm like, you know, let me make sure in my review that I'm as honest as possible and things that I remember that really stood out to me from their review, because other romance readers are going to see it like, yes, it feels this way. But this is exactly what the author does with the book, because I'm like, you know, you already came into this book assuming you weren't going to like it. So let me do it as justice as someone that actually loves the genre, loves, you know, these sappy Hallmark movies that you're talking about. Like, let me do the book some justice. So
yeah, I love it. Yeah, we're just doing God's work.
Exactly.
We're taking the time, we're reading all these books, and we're telling the world, like, this is what you should read next, you know?
And, you know, it really bothers me that, like, some of the most hateful comments about not just a romance book, but, oh, I can't, you know, I should have known because it's a romance and that's not my genre. Those like spiteful comments, it really bothers me, because 9 times out of 10, they're from women. And I'm just like, come on. Like, maybe you just haven't found your way into romance yet. You know, maybe it'll never be your thing, but like, it's a genre for women by women. So like, give it the respect that it deserves, you know?
Yeah, I hate when they're like, it's much, or it's this, it's just like, it's too sexy, it's too much sex, or like, and I'm like, well, life is, there's intimacy, like, it is part of it, like, you know?
That was one, because since we both started reads, and you started 2016, I was 2017, right?
Yeah.
That was a misconception that I had. I had that misconception of like, oh, I don't know if I can read, it's like, it's, they all probably have sex in it. And then I started with Debbie Maycomber, who has no sex. So I was proven wrong. Did you have any, like, before you started reading any? Did you?
I did not realize. I remember in the beginning, I was, like, so, like, shocked by it. And I was, like, because I was reading YA before that. So.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
I started reading because of BookTube. So most BookTube is YA, YA fantasy, and all those different things. And then,
I tell everybody it's like the BookTube welcome package. It's like, here's all these YA readers.
It's all this YA. So I read all these YA fantasy, and then I discovered new adult. I think there were like a couple of BookTubers who did new adult reading guides. And I was like, oh, that's like a fine. And most of them are indie authors. So they were like cheap on Kindle. So I was like, let me just give it a try. And I happened to read them in a day. And I felt that was a really big accomplishment. I could read a book in a day. Like, this is amazing.
I looked.
And I was like, oh, there's a lot of sex. Because new adult, there's a lot of sex. So I was like, okay. You know, and then I started to branch out to the other romance. I was reading a lot of the AC romance, which I don't read anymore. But there was like all these different moments I was like discovering. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know. Yeah. And at the time, there was not that many booktubers who were talking romance. There's more now. Thanks to you, thanks to Steph. There's a wide range now. So there's like more booker recommendations, but there's like so many different types of romance out there.
Yeah. You
like don't know where
we're to taking stop. Over, girl. We're trying to take over.
I love it. Yeah. I spend time Sundays. I'm like, I'm editing and I'm like, let me just see what else do I add to my TBR, you know? So, but yeah, it's like the romance, like I just didn't realize there was a genre that had intimacy, love, you know, happily ever after. Most of the books that I read growing up had those elements.
Already, yeah.
Already, and it's just like packaged together into just that's the main storyline. I was like, well, this is kind of like my book that makes me happy. So
I feel like since I started, because when I picked up the Debbie Maycomber, I was about to turn 30. And I feel like I see all these new adult recommendations and I'm like, that sounds so good, but I don't know if it's for my age group. So I like picked up some and they have been really good, but it feels like it's the own world itself. Like it is huge. And I'm like, I have no idea where to start.
For me, though, funny enough, I work in a college. So my first career was working in a college. I worked with college students for like 10 years.
Okay.
I think I've been new at all like 4 years or three. I left a career in 2013. So 2016, I started reading new adults. So 3 years after leaving the career, I just started reading new adults. And it was like kind of like flashbacks of what I used to work with, like college at the same time, like a whole different story.
Yeah.
I did not want to know, but there's like so many out there. Like, and the genre is like, I think I don't read that often anymore. I wish I could actually pick someone up. But I love the series. I love when there's like 4 or 5 books in a series and you can just like swing them through.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it.
And that's another thing that as I grew into romance, that became a difference. Like before reading romance, I would never pick up a series. I was a one and done girl. But now, I mean, I've read Sarah Morgan series and Debbie Maycomber series, and I'm reading through a Jill Shalvis series right now. Like, I'm reading her Heartbreaker Bay series right now.
Ooh, I love it.
She is hilarious.
She is great. I'm reading her Wildstone series. I've read her forever title, Nobody But You. I think that's the title. And it has so much sex. Like, it was, like, ridiculous.
Does it?
Yeah, I was like, oh, my gosh. She kept boning. It was, like, having sex like bunnies. Like, you know, like, keep doing it over and over. I was like, holy crap.
See, I've seen the cover for that one, and you wouldn't even think it.
Yeah. How
it's this pretty, like, springy summer-looking cover. I wouldn't even imagine.
Based on her other books, there's sex, but there's not that much.
Not that much, yeah.
I think
in this series, like, you might get one scene, you know, and it furthers the plot along, and then something happens and then it's over. But like, I'm thinking of the one that you're reading, because I just saw the cover the other day and I'm like, is this part of a series? So I like added it to my cart and I'm like, it looks like such a cute spring read. And now you're like, there's a lot of sex in it.
There's a lot of sex. But I with my friend Sarah and Amy, and Sarah was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of sex in this book. And it's good. Like, it's not a bad complaint. It's just like, you're surprised how much yeah, like they take the plot long, but it's a really good title.
Her humor is amazing. She's just able, in this Heartbreaker Bay series, I just love kind of the casual conversation and like the character's sense of humor. And I just love that it takes place in San Francisco, but it feels kind of small townish because mm-hmm. they have their own little area. It's a lot of fun. So at first I was like, don't binge the series. Like, I would read a book and then wait a couple of weeks, read other stuff. But with everything that's going on right now, I've just been like one after the other. I don't care if it's a Christmas romance or not. I'm just going to read it.
I love it. Well, you know, I feel like this is just like a season where it's like, we should bring the Christmas romance back, you know?
No.
Kind of like, we just need a Christmas spirit, you know, something fun, something happy that's just going to bring you joy.
Girl, we had like 2 weekends where Hallmark played their Christmas movies because we were on Facebook like, we need Christmas movies. And they were like, we hear you. Here you go. And I loved it. I was like, I don't care if it's March. Like, I'm going to sit here on this couch and binge these Christmas movies. And it really did. It really changed my mood. I was like, thank you for this.
Awesome. So you read contemporary romance. What have been some of the books, your favorite books of this year?
Okay. So I have a little list. So I read one on NetGalley. I'm trying to do better with NetGalley. I haven't always been the best. I read one. It was called The Anti-Honeymoon by Bethany Michaels. And I haven't really seen many people talk about it, honestly, at all. So, the heroine in that one is this woman, Jenna, and literally at the beginning of the book, she's, it's her wedding day, she's like fitting her dress, her fiance walks in, he's a total douchebag, says something like, oh, you maybe should have lost a couple more pounds before trying to get into that dress type of thing. Like, dude, really? You're going to say that to her today? And so the last straw for her is, I think it's like some older people that she worked with at a nursing home, and they became her found family. Mm-hmm. And all she asked was sit them in the front. They're like, everybody else here is for you. I'm just asking for these people to be in the front. And he sits them in the back because, you know, he hired like this magazine to come and take photos. He didn't want them like ruining the aesthetic. So they come, they sneak in the back, and they're like, do you want to do this? You don't have to do it. And she sneaks out, and she runs to this car, and she thinks that it's this vehicle that he hired to take them after the wedding, and it's not. It's this guy named Scott, who they used to be college buddies, him and her fiance, but her fiance screwed him over. Oh. And she doesn't know this at first. She learns this, like, after they get away. And he's like, I know the kind of person he is, so if you're saying that you're having second thoughts, I completely understand, but you need to get away. Otherwise, he's going to come look for you. He's going to talk you into doing it. So they go on her honeymoon, and he's like, let's do everything opposite of what you had planned. So instead of like couples yoga, let's do kickboxing. Instead of like romantic dinners, let's eat pizza on the beach. And it was just, it was so fun, and it was so cute. And of course, there's the twist at the end, and it had stuff that I was not expecting. It went a way that I wasn't expecting, but I really loved it. And I'm like, I'm not hearing anybody talk about this book. So I wanted to shout that one out because it was my first by the author, and it was a lot of fun.
Downloading that book. Well, I'm going to record it.
And then, so of course, have you read Lauren Lane?
Yep. I love Lauren Lane. Okay. So good.
So of course I read the last book of the Central Park Pact series, and I was upset, but then she turned around like a month later and she had Yours and Scandal come out. Have you read that one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so good. And I was surprised because it was on Kindle Unlimited and they had the audiobook for free. So I was like, people need to read this book. I just loved how it was kind of the more that we got to learn about Adeline, that was her name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adeline. We learned that a lot of the stuff that caused her bad reputation were setups, you know, like people would make sure that she had so many drinks and started dancing on tables so that they could get a picture of her, you know? So I was just like, wow, that life has to suck, you know? It's like a public figure's kid. So yeah, it was this romance. I felt like there was also so much else going on, and I really, really loved it. And the ending, I loved the ending.
Hanley was so good.
Yeah. I was like, here he is at this news conference, and he like says, I'm not going to do this anymore. And he points at her. I was like, this is perfect. And then I did read a female-female romance by Anna Stone that I loved called Being Hers. I loved that. That was my second female-female romance, and ooh, I loved it. I just need all the lesbian romances. But what I loved about that one was that both of the women were out and they were happy about it, but one of them is more of a dominant. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, the other one, she talks in, the other one wants to be more of the submissive role. But the like big message about it was, is we have to communicate if you don't want to do something, you have to tell me, you know, yep. because she had been kind of burnt in the past by someone not communicating with her and it coming back and like biting her in the butt, basically. So mm-hmm. I love that. Like the whole story was basically about communication. So I really, really loved that story. And I need to read more of her. I haven't read that anything else by her since then. And so I've been really stingy with my five stars. One of the books that I did give a five star was An Everyday Hero by Laura Trentham.
Okay.
It's a small town romance, and the heroine is this woman named Greer. And literally at the beginning of this one, she is in the court. She's at court and she's getting her punishment. And I'm like, what the heck? So she was at a bar and she had one too many drinks. She was listening to Patsy Cline, the same song over and over again. And this cop comes in and he was actually like her bully in high school. Mm. So that did not end well, but she had just recently found out her boyfriend was like cheating on her or something. And so her punishment is community service at this music outreach program for military veterans and their family. Mm-hmm. And she ends up working with a 15-year-old girl who lost her father while he was deployed. And then another guy that she went to high school with who lost his leg while he was deployed. And it had so many deep meanings in it and a beautiful romance between her and this wounded veteran. And I just loved it so much. It's actually a book two in a series. I have no idea what the first book was, but it felt like a standalone, so I highly recommend that one.
I love when that happens. I love when you read the standalone, like it's part of the series, and then you know you can go back to and read them out of order, but yeah. There's something to be said about that. It's really cool.
Yeah, now I'm like, well, whose book was book one? I know. It just was perfect by itself.
Yeah, I love it. So what are some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020?
Well, of course, you have me at Ola, which I think is on its way. I keep my fingers crossed. And then The Boyfriend Project by Farrow Ashan, which I have a copy of, and I'm going to start this week because it is the stay-at-home reading rush. So that's going to be one of my picks for that. And then what else is on my shelf? I've been approved for a lot of my most anticipated releases on NetGalley. So there's a new Julia Quinn coming out that I'm excited for because mm-hmm. everybody's like, you need to read Julia Quinn. So I got approved for that. And oh my gosh, there is like Mexican Gothic. I'm blanking on the title, but the cover is gorgeous. And I think it's an historical fiction novel that's coming out in, I think, June or July that I'm really excited for. So yeah, that I'm trying to not hype myself up too much about new releases because I hyped myself up a lot in 2019 and then I would read them. Like, I've been telling everybody to read this and I'm not that excited. So I try not to get too excited until I've actually read the books.
I'll give you a heads up. So I read The Boyfriend Project a few weeks ago. It's one of the few ones that are contemporaries that I end up reading. I truly enjoy it. It was really good. I love the subplot for a hero. He has his own plot and stuff. It's really good. Oh, wow.
Okay.
And it's technology, STEM, and it's like go-getter, like really good. And it's set in Austin. Great friendships. They meet on a viral tweet gone bad. And it's just like scandal. It's like really good. First Come Scandal. It's even just book four in a series. I had not read the first three books in the series and it was fine. Like I did not miss out. So it's perfect for standalone. It has a virgin hero who is going to school for medicine. So if you like the virgin hero trope, it does have that. It's a marriage of convenience and it's so, so good. And if you then decide to read the Bridgertons or watch the Bridgertons series, you'll see a cameo of the young Bridgertons kids as their kids. So it's really cute. There's like baby Colin, which is like, Colin is my favorite character for Julia Quinn. And so seeing him as a baby, it's like, oh my God, I want to just take your cheeks and just like play with you. So First Come Scandal is really a chat.
I think too, I'm blanking on the titles, but I know that Alyssa Cole has a new romance coming out and I've seen the cover and it is gorgeous.
It comes out in December. It's
December?
So yeah.
Oh, I so thought it came out this summer.
Yeah, I was hyping up. I was like, I do a post for anticipating new releases. And I was like, I had it in the list for May. And so when I went to Amazon, December 1st. And I was like, no wonder I have not seen R. I was like, what?
The cover, I was like, oh, it looks like it's going to be the perfect summer release. It's like yellow and it has the heroine and the hero on the front. We'll wait till December, whatever the queen, Alyssa, wants to do. We'll wait. And then I know that Beverly Jenkins, unless it got pushed back as well, which I hope, but the next book in the Women Who Dare series should be coming out this summer.
Do you read Kindle or do you read paperback? What's your preference in terms of reading?
A little bit of everything. So I love paperbacks because I highlight and I write notes in my book. Like, I'm that person. And then I have Kindle Unlimited. I have Audible Escape. I kind of use those together. Like, if I buy the Kindle book, I'll check and see how much the audiobook is. And usually it makes it a little bit cheaper if I buy the Kindle book or if it's on Kindle Unlimited and I download it. So I kind of use those together. So it really depends. I feel like I'm growing out of that stage where I feel like I have to have the physical copy of every book because I used to be that person. And now I'm just like, well, there's so much cheaper to buy this way, but then I don't want to give Amazon all my money. You know, I want to support my local bookstore. So it's like a reader struggle for us.
I think it is, like, right now, I tend to buy the books that I read already. Like, if I really like them, like my 4-star, 5-star books, I buy them. And so I cancel my pre-orders from Amazon. And because they're like non-essential shipping, and I'm like, oh, sorry, but books are essential. So I just moved them to Wall Street Arrow and to the other indie bookstores. I was like, okay, you can send me the book. You know?
Yeah.
But I read mainly Kindle. Like, I read, I would say 100% on Kindle. Like,
your Kindle.
That's the way to go. So I read a lot of arcs, and I read a lot of, like, Kindle or library books are gone from Kindle, so that's how I get most of my reading done.
Yeah, I feel like the oddball out because most of my friends, like my friend Stephanie from Steph's Romance Book Talk and Sarah from Steeped in Books, they're just like, yep, we read on Kindle. And I'm like, it takes me like a week to get through a Kindle book, and it takes you like a couple of hours. And like my friend Lisa from Remarkably Lisa on Instagram, I'm like, you've been killing with the Kindle books. And she's like, Brie, I read such fast and I want to be in that club where like you're reading Kindle books fast. I feel like for some reason it's so easy for me to neglect versus like looking at my physical book and seeing how many pages I have left. It's like, pick the book up so that you can get it finished. But it's just so convenient. I'm like, you need to do better. You need to do better.
Yeah, I think for me, the Kindle, it tells me the percentage. It tells me how many hours it's going to take me. And
that's so dreadful.
I'm reading a book that's like 7,000. It's like, it's a long book. And I'm like, it's like,
what are you reading?
I'm reading Hello Summer by Mary Kane Andrews. It's cute. It's close to her.
I just saw the cover for that. I just saw that on.
Yeah.
It's not out, is it?
It's not out. It comes out in May. So it's cute. It's a small town romance, I think. There's some romance, but there's a family plotline. There's like a whole journalism standard thing. So, but the book is really long. So I'm like at 70%. And I'm like, okay, how long it's gonna take me to finish this book? So
does it have a suspense plot too?
It does. It has there's like a mystery about a senator who passed away in a car accident, and she's a journalist and she's trying to uncover the story. And the story has like all these layers and layers and layers, and it's a small town newspaper. So it's like, it's kind of like, it's been interesting. Like, it's my first Mary Kay Andrews. I mentioned it to friends and she was like, it's really long. She writes really long books. And I was like,
does she?
I can agree.
I just got a library book by her. Hold on, let me tell you what it's called. It'll be my first one by her too. It's a spring title though.
Yeah, I feel like
Spring Fever.
Yeah, I feel like she writes seasonal titles. So this one's a Florida Panhandle. So it feels like it's kind of like summery and stuff. So, but it's it's good. It's just like really long. So I'm like, I want to finish a book. And like, I'm like, when am I going to finish a book?
Yeah. That's how I was the last book that I read on next. I read one called Hooked on You by Kern Fox that comes out the 27th of April. And I'm like, this book is literally 318 pages long, but it is taking forever to get through.
I think it's like, well, I feel like it's, it can be the season. It can just be like distraction. It can be like, there's like so much going on that, you know, it may take us a little longer to finish books, and it's just like, it is what it is. But it's like, some books I'm like, I can fly through, and other books I'm like, it's taking me like a week or 2 weeks. And it's like, sometimes it's a book that just like, it took me a while to get into it. Other times it's like, it's me that I'm just like too distracted to get into the book. Which books are your TBR?
What's on my TBR? A little bit of everything. So up I have The Two Lives of Lydia Bird, which I've conned my sister and my cousin in Chicago to read, because they're like, we should read something. My cousin reads, my sister, she reads, but not as much as us. But she, I can tell she's wanting to get into it, especially now that she can't leave home. Yeah. So we're gonna do like our own little impromptu book club and read that. I really want that new Chanel Cleeton, but I don't think it comes out until like June or July.
Yep.
I love her so much.
Yeah,
she came to Texas last year when the second book came out, and I drove to Dallas to see her, and she's just so sweet, and I just love what she's doing with her historical fiction and her, the romance and the stories. And Beatrice is like one of my favorite heroines, so I'm like, how are we gonna top her? I'm hoping the next book is just as good. So I'm waiting on that. And then I have, I'm currently reading, it's called Heiress for Hire by Madeline Hunter, which is a historical romance that I'm reading on NetGalley. And I'm trying, like, my NetGalley books are my priority right now because I have so many. I have Jennifer Probst? It's Probst. Is it Jennifer Probst?
I think so.
So Amazon, you know, they do that. Like if you're a Prime member, you can get books early. Yep. So my May pick, well, she has a new release called Love on Beach Avenue, which looks really good. So I have that I want to read. And then Jenny Colgan, I've read one book by her, but I have 500 Miles from You, which is her next title that's coming out. And I'm just so ready for like summer reads. So I have a bunch of like springy and summer reads that I'm trying to make my way through.
I love it. I love it.
And then once I get through these, I'm like, maybe I should take a NetGalley break.
But then new releases come up and you're like,
I know. And then it's going to be fall season. So like all the Christmas romances are going to come out. And I just can't wait for that.
I know. Jenny Holiday's doing Christmas book actually with Eli. So I'm really, I'm looking forward to that. That's coming out in October, I think. All the Christmas would come out in September, October, which is a lot. So
I read her. Well, I have her Mermaid Inn, and yep. I need to read that one because I just hear that she is just so good, and I've heard really want that book. I just haven't gotten to it yet, so I need to read that. I was like, it looks like it's a summer book, so I need to save it for the summer.
It's set in Canada in a lake town, summer fall season, so it's lots of season. It reminds me of Gilmore Girls. It has like a Stars Hollow kind of feel of like quirky little town with like really quirky characters, and it's set
okay.
And says you may like it. I like it a lot, so.
Yeah, like right now I've just been, I don't know, like it's hard to say that I'm in a certain mood, but at the same time, I know what I'm in the mood for. Like I've been reading Jenny Hale, which she writes amazing Christmas and summer romances. So I've been just like wanting to devour her summer romances, but I'm like, if you read them all, then you're not going to have anything else to read by her. So I've been trying to space those out, but I've read her. I read my first Kate Nolan, which is like small town Tennessee, and it just like completely hit the spot. So I just feel like I'm in like small town romances that are like perfect for summer right now. And then like throw a Christmas romance in there to like shake it up.
I love it. I love all these small town romance, this Christmas bugs, this whole, you know, just feeling joyful. Just
which is crazy because like you think of the pandemic, I'm like, if I lived in a small town, like I'm from a small town, I'd be having such a hard time like with the pandemic that's going on. I'm like, at least I live in the city. So if I really needed to just like go for a drive or something, like I live in a city, but my sister lives in a small town and she's like miserable. So I'm like, I don't know why I'm like in mood for small town romances, but I guess when you live in a city, the small town's kind of an escape.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like that's like a good escape just to be in a small town romance. It's like,
yeah.
There's all these people that know you. There feels a community. I feel like that's one thing I look up on small town romance. There's like community. There's like connections that you probably won't see in the city. And you have mom for those. So yeah, I understand. So thank you, Brie, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I love talking to you.
I love talking to you too. So I love your book recommendations. So I'm excited
for
this episode to air. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.